But I'm glad I can share this Sunday morning with you and be in the presence of Lord through these songs and music. And kind of today's sermon came to mind. Last week I was in PAOC conference, in Abbotsford, and it was a BC Yukon District conference. There was hundreds of pastors and church workers gathered, and there was a lot of different workshops and music as well. Kind of highlight of that 2 days conference for me was the second day morning. There was a prayer time for about an hour, and there was these prayer leaders. They were praying, and we were there concentrating on some topics and praying about some certain topics. But then in the end of that praying time, there was a pastor that came, and he was from Africa. If I remember, he was from Zimbabwe or somewhere. And he had come to Canada, immigrated here, and serving as a pastor in some remote church here in BC. And he talked about a little bit that how difficult it is to come from a whole different continent and different environment, and then be a minority here and immigrate and all the struggles. And I can relate that a little bit. I've been here only 3 years. But the main thing was when he started leading that prayer, I felt that we entered the presence of God in a really powerful way, and then he led the whole congregation to worship and praise the Lord and singing together. And that was for me the highlight of those 2 days, that small moment over there. And it was like this guy, he took a mic and he led that prayer, but he stepped aside and he led us to a presence of God, and he was pointing on Jesus. And then right after that, the big band came to the stage and started worship music. It was good. They were sincere. They were doing their best. They were praising God, but the focus somehow, it got distracted. I felt that, like it was a little bit of performing. Like it was about, like part of it was part of the people on stage. It wasn't just praising the Lord and Jesus on focus. So this is where my sermon today comes. It's the where's our focus? Where do we stand? Are we as pastors or Christians? Are we following people that and their brand? Or you know, there's a lot of different pastors and charismatic preachers that they have like a strong brand, and they might speak good things, but it's a little bit about themselves. It's like the focus is not always leading to God or Jesus. The focus is in people and their performance. So, and I want to take this passage here on John 3 and 38. Verse. So, and there's John the Baptist says that he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's a good way to, John the Baptist was the was prophet. He was a big following. There was a lot of people came to John Baptist and hear what he's speaking and what he's saying. And he was a powerful speaker and leader. But his focus was not in himself. It was leading to Jesus. It was pointing on Jesus. And we all take influence, we all from the world, different church, from the church, pastors, fellow Christians, and the we might like some YouTube preacher or someone else, charismatic speaker or a performer, but one really good way to look at them is to, are they pointing where's their focus? Is it on themselves and what they've done and what's happened through them? It's good to speak those things, but it's the main focus should always be in Christ. Do you agree? And it's not about the church. It's not about pastor. It's not about worship leader. It's about Christ. And that's a good way of evaluate things or look at things, look at preachers, look at who we're following. Is where are they pointing at? Are they pointing at Christ, the King of Kings, or are they pointing at themselves? And who gets the credit? God has given us talents, it's everyone for their own, and it's important to put that talents to use. We need performers, we need in church, and we need people on stage too. Like, nothing wrong with that. If there's a preacher that you like his sermon and you, like pastors speaking and it's really talking to you, it's not a wrong thing to say that, hey, it was a good sermon today, or I really like that message was for me and for everybody else too. It was for this church. It's nothing wrong with that. Or if somebody's performing, and like we heard Oti just minutes ago, and all the worship team, pointing on Jesus, pointing on Abba the Father, the focus should be over there, not here on stage. And I'll take the Matthew 18 and the 20th verse, Matthew 18, and this is one of my all-time favorites here. If you can have one of those, it's the "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." This is from Jesus. This is what I want when I come to church. This is what I want to experience. This is what I want to feel. This is what anybody that comes from that door, when they come here, they can meet Jesus. They can meet him through our words and actions and through our music, that they can meet Jesus. That this place can be a place where you can come and get to know Jesus. That we can build up together as a church, get to know him better. Not know the great pastor, or not know, like of course, we need this fellowship, we need each other's, but this is that, like, even if me or somebody else is speaking the greatest speech ever or greatest sermon ever, if there's no love, if there's no Christ in that, if it's just pointing on, if it's just clever things and great tonation or like a good way of saying things, it's empty. It's not pointing on the cross. It's not pointing on Jesus Christ, who's crucified for our sins and who's taken the who took the judgment from us. And the today is the good day when we come to the communion table. This is one of the things that Jesus left for us to really remember him, to remember what he did for us. He took our sins, he took the burden that we can be free. And there's there should be just one main character. It's the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And all others, we should be just in the sidelines, pointing on him. And I'll take the John 15, and there's 5-15. So, on this Gospel of John, John was disciple. First, he was disciple for John the Baptist, but then John the Baptist was leading him to Christ, and like and pointing on Christ. Like, there's the guy. There's the Lamb of God that you need to follow, and he led. Apostle John go with Jesus, and John was the one of the closest for Jesus. And here on this time when Jesus was having the Last Supper with his disciples, it's these chapters here are put for us, and they're really important. It's like Jesus was highlighting things that what's the most important things, like you being in my presence and being following me like three and a half years, and these are the things that you should remember, like love each other, like people will know you when you love each other, people will recognize you're my followers. And then here's the this 5-15. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative,
But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that he Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you.
So here Jesus is talking to his disciples about what's the role of Holy Spirit. Is to and what's the role? It was the sow this world the sin and judgment, but it was to glorify Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit was is glorifying Jesus Christ. Anywhere you go, and especially churches, when they're glorifying people, when they're glorifying performers, or then you know, like, there's something wrong. This is like, even though it can be great, it can sound right, or it can, then you know it's that's not what Holy Spirit is doing. He's not glorifying people. It's glorifying Christ. And the nowadays the techniques on how to speak or give great sermons, or they has taken the Holy Spirit's place. 3 points and a conclusion. It's good to have to learn those techniques, but the main thing is to get to know Jesus Christ, be in his presence, and find what to say from there. And when we have what we live as a church, a Christ-centered life, we live Christ-centered in our lives and in here at the church, then we can. This is a good place for us. This is where we come to the presence of the Lord, like Jim talked in the beginning. We come to the presence of the Lord. But the this presence, when you go outside of that building, when you go from that door, well, there's the mission field starts over there. And there's a lot of people that doesn't know him. And when you live that Christ-centered life, and you get a glimpse of this world, maybe you get a glimpse of how Jesus sees this world. So you can't just stay still and enjoy this Sunday service. You got it, kind of creates some action too. Like and Jesus, what was his last commandment for his disciples? Was to go out, go there, and that's for us too. I'll take it. Matthew 28. And then 16 to 20. The Great Commission. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And this is one of the my favorite passages too. There's, I'm with you always, even to the end of age. And so Jesus said to this, his closest disciples, and from that day on, this commandment has been passed on through decades, through time, and all the Christians have taken this and felt the burden of souls, burden of people who don't know Jesus, have never met him, and he has promised to be with us always, even to the end of age. And it's not end of age yet, but it's Jesus is coming back, and it's closer than ever. That's for sure. And this commandment, this same message, is for us to live Jesus-centered life, to hear, gather, and worship him, and meet him here at the church, but go out there and try to get people know him through our words and actions, through our lives. King of Kings, Jesus Christ, is with us in our valleys, or when we are climbing that hill that looks too high, too big. He's with us every day in our lives. And I want to take the same great commission here on Mark 16. And then 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them to their unbelief and hardness and heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has been disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink and any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And this is what Jesus said in Matthew. He said he has given all authority, and here he's saying what are the signs and how these authority, his authority is working through his disciples' life. When they lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And today, when we gather to the Holy Communion, we can ask ourselves, like, how can we reach people that we don't see here? How can we reach this neighborhood? How can we reach our families or the workplace where we work? And get them to know and get them to experience what it's like when your sins are washed away, when you're clean inside. When you're born again and you have the connection with your Maker, and that's the most beautiful thing that can happen. And if there's anyone here today doesn't know Christ, I hope you feel him knocking on your heart's door. He wants to come and dine with you. He wants to make himself alive, and
He wants to wash your sins away. You only need to believe in Him, repent your sins, and start up your journey with Jesus Christ. And it's definitely a journey. There's a lot of people here that you've been born again. Like it can be 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, and like Jesus said here, like He promised here, He's been there all that time. He's been there, faithful in taking care of you. And the now we go to the communion table. I'll take here 1 Corinthians